Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman with another Espresso Tech Talk. And you'll notice the theme of Espresso in everything we do, Espresso Consulting, Espresso Kids Foundation. And Espresso for us, it comes in a small, compact package, but it has a punch, comes with a lot of flavor, and usually energizes you. And that's what I hope these little talks do for you. I try to keep them at 10 minutes or so, give or take. What I like to do is go through some of my archives and look at some of the slide decks I've done and just pick out one slide or take one key point from that slide. Because too often when I'm giving presentations, I know that by the time we get to the end of the deck, it's been information overload. So this is a way to kind of isolate one particular point. One of the points that that comes up is the fact of as far as Scrum and ceremonies. And it's common that teams they're becoming mundane. They're becoming stale. Anything that you do over and over. And keep in mind that Agile, Scrum, is now over 20 years old. We've already celebrated the 20th anniversary of the Agile Manifesto. So any group that has been over time practicing Scrum in particular, you've been exposed to the key four or five ceremonies. And if you've been doing them and trying your best to follow the guidelines in some form or fashion, even if you move from one company to another, everyone is trying to do some form of the ceremonies in an attempt to declare themselves as being agile. But keeping in mind that the ceremonies themselves are just one piece of it, and that it's in combination with some other key pieces. And so in and of itself, I'm not saying that ceremonies are bad or that they're the answer to everything. But what I am saying is each of the ceremonies do serve a purpose, and they serve a purpose whether you're completely by the book agile or even if you're just loosely wagile, or what some people call waterfall agile or wacky agile, whatever you want to call it, there is still value to the ceremonies. Now, where I'm going to deviate a little bit and maybe even surprise you is that the how, there is some variations to help freshen up the ceremonies. We can still accomplish what was intended, so the what stays the same, but the how, we can kind of be a little loose in the way of agile and even how we implement agile. And so I myself have had some fun over the years, because again, I've been promoting and helping organizations get back to the basics since the manifesto. I think my first exposure to Agile was the manifesto was less than a year old. So I, even as a coach sometimes, am looking for ways to kind of freshen it up and put it in context. And very specifically, in 2020, when everyone suddenly found themselves fully remote, we really had to take some serious consideration about some of the ceremonies, especially in terms of knowing that Agile originally was built around these open environments. The first instance of Agile, the very first thing teams did was take down the cubicle walls and create these open spaces so that you can overhear and eavesdrop and just jump into and huddle spontaneously. A whole lot of just very ad hoc communication. And that was so that we could reduce a lot of the documentation. But now people just want to focus on reducing the documentation, but they're adverse to the spontaneous huddles or even the planned huddles, because since we're remote, you can't rely on spontaneous huddles. You really do have to put time on people's calendars, set up a Zoom in order to have conversations. So it feels like we're in meeting overload when in fact some of these are the equivalent of spontaneous huddles. And things like collaborative tools like Slack have things called huddles. And by huddles, we're talking about something that doesn't have to be on the calendar every day, doesn't even have to be on the calendar in advance. You just, in that moment, have something and you want to get the right people in the conversation. And that's where huddles come from. So some of your Zoom calls, not everything is a meeting, sometimes differentiating that some of these things are just huddles. And ceremonies themselves aren't intended to be meetings per se. They don't necessarily have someone speaking to the people attending. The ceremonies themselves are a place for the team, specifically team members, to come together, to check in with each other, to help facilitate the team collaboration, to make sure that we're going in the right direction. One of the things that I often say on the front end of my Agile primer is that everything related to the Agile ceremonies is really trying to answer four questions. Are we working on the right things? Are we making progress? Are we working on them in a way that's healthy? By healthy, I mean healthy and sustainable. And are we communicating or being transparent with our stakeholders? That's basically the pillar of the ceremonies. And by the ceremonies, I'm talking about the daily stand-up. That's what I call the morning pep rally. Every day of your work week, the team just taking 15 minutes and only 15 minutes to check in with each other. It should be a form of knowledge sharing. It should be, and I know the common script of saying what you did yesterday, what you're going to do today, and what are your impediments. But oftentimes, the team needs to be challenged to make sure you make quality statements. What did you actually accomplish? What do you plan to accomplish? And what are those things either you truly need help with or that are blocking you completely that you need some action taken toward? So whoever's facilitating, one of their main things is coming out of those meetings, taking those impediments and taking ownership of those. Now, talked about things getting still, daily stand-ups every day, 15 minutes, each member of the team speaking very briefly. Well, I've had teams, whether even in Zoom, had themes, had dress up, on Fridays, change things up a little bit, maybe end it with a joke or a quote. I've had teams, and they started the tradition when they were in person, but carried it over. They hit a gong at the end of the daily stand-up, or even a cheer, a chant, go team. Or maybe it was just everybody giving either a thumbs up or thumbs sideways, thumbs down, just to acknowledge what their mood was. The other thing is that I have seen teams successfully do stand-ups in Slack. But those even get mundane, because if you're just writing yours and those stand-ups are written scattered throughout the day, nobody is taking the time to go back and read what their other team members have posted, then it's actually not serving the purpose. And I always encourage that Slack standups, you still time box it, the same time box you use for the Zoom. But I've also added a twist and encouraged teams to add a twist that in addition to the three questions, add a fourth, which is share your feeling, an emoji or a emoticon or a bitmoji that in some way, and it can be fun, it can be silly, show what your mood is. And because by doing that in Slack, it kind of gives you that human element. We're not talking on Zoom, so we can't see each other's face or hear each other's inflection. But if you put an emoji there, you kind of know if someone's stressed out or frustrated or just stuck or just even feel like, you know, or even euphoric and happy and proud of something. And it's very important that team members react to those statements and comments and feelings that their other team members put in Slack. That acknowledgement is more important than anything else because it still makes it interactive even though you're using this asynchronous vehicle of Slack. So spice it up and challenge the team. How do we spice up our stand up? Do something a little funny, a little quirky. Maybe the last person, if someone's late to the meeting, they have to bring a joke. We used to do that on Fridays in particular. Or if someone was a regular offender of being late to the meeting, then we'd accumulate who was the late the most that week, and they owed us a joke on a Friday session. These are all just fun things to kind of spike your daily stand-up. The other thing that I will say about daily stand-ups is don't have a blank screen. Yes, it's nice for everybody in Zoom to have their cameras on, which I strongly encourage, but also display the burndown chart throughout the sprint or display the Kanban board to show the work items there and physically show people moving their items into the done column. As one team, as people move stuff into the done column, they would ring a cowbell to acknowledge one more thing got moved to the done column. These are all things that also help you establish team culture. Liven it up. The other area where there's plenty of opportunity to bring a little flavor or excitement is in your retrospective. There are great tools like Parable, and if you're familiar with that, Parable.co. A very cool tool, especially because it makes sure that you start with a icebreaker, something that allows the team to kind of exchange something and give some insight about themselves before. It kind of helps change the mood that we're going to be open and kind of expose a part of ourselves. We're going to talk about how the sprint went. Now you can go into the different categories of what went well, what didn't, what do we intend to improve. But you also can pick something from a previous retrospective and make that the theme. If communication or honesty or emotional intelligence was something that, let's say, came up, then make that a topic. Find an exercise, someone to facilitate to go through and focus on that area. That's something that's very important, that retrospective is just so much about addressing the issue, not just bringing them up, and then at the end of the meeting, they just go into a black hole, or next week we start a whole new list. It should be an accumulation, and some things should fall off that list each week, and some things should be added by the end of the retrospective. Make sure that this is really a working process improvement exercise when you're doing your retrospective. Let's talk about sprint demo. That should be a celebration. That should be the things that you accomplish, your show and tell, and even an opportunity to show bloopers. Have a blooper section where everyone can be completely honest, things they weren't able to complete, why they weren't able to complete, and even deep dive and dissect that so it doesn't keep happening. Our goal is ultimately zero carryover. So make that and celebrate, especially celebrate when you have a sprint, when everybody has the opportunity, has something to show for it, and we can show through our burn down charts, through our metrics, that we completed what we committed to in the sprint. That should be an automatic celebration. And you all should not only set your goals at the beginning of the sprint, identify how you're going to celebrate at the end of the sprint so you can have something to look forward to. I had one group that had libations delivered to all the team members. So at the end, everyone opened their package and their end was their libations, and they were able to hold up their little cans and toast each other, even in a virtual environment. So with a little bit of creativity, you can definitely add some spark to the ceremonies. Last two ceremonies are planning, backlog refinement. Again, setting your goal, having visuals to show something like there is a register that shows if your backlog is healthy, what percentage of your stories are refined and pointed. Show that, show where you start at the beginning of refinement and show where it is at the end of refinement. Even those little visual goals help the team kind of see where they're going. And at the end of the day, the whole concept of Kanban board is visually seeing your progress. So again, be creative, have fun with it, and stay tuned for more great tips. Thanks. I hope you enjoy that shot of espresso.